Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to a new redefining education podcast. To educate means to give intellectual, moral, and social instruction to someone, typically in schools or universities. Yet, the pace of modern technology and how it affects our societies and even our humanity requires a complete redefinition of how we teach, learn, and live. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
Marco.
Sean, what's going on? What are you going to do this summer?
Summer, I'm going to camp.
Aren't you too old for that?
I am too old.
But you're going to teach?
But as a mentor or an instructor. And to be honest, I don't know that I am going to camp. Maybe I will. We'll see. But the point is, there are camps that aren't just limited to summer, that are available all year round, and aren't restricted to physical locations, nor specific topics. And I think, to me, that's all about redefining how we learn, right? Redefining education.
Opening up things. Just get on Zoom and get a lesson.
That's the only platform available, right? You just sit there and look at screens all day.
Well, it may seem like that. And we sure had an accelerated education for online platform in the last year and a half. But there is definitely way more than that. And there was way more than that even before the pandemic happened. So many people may have discovered a video conference at this time. But we have been doing that for a while. Today is exciting to talk about another way to redefine education, and is by using technology, and I don't see any other way really, to connect kids and instructors and teachers. And Sean, we have something I'm really excited to learn about, and it is about summer camps. So that makes me even more excited.
Exactly. Connected Camps is the organization we're speaking with today. And we have Katie and Angela on. Katie's a co-founder and Angela is one of the counselors. And we're going to understand why Connected Camps exists and what it does, who's it for. And so I'm going to start off by asking Katie to introduce herself a little bit about where you come from and how you landed at co-founding Connected Camps.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Right. So my name's Katie Salen. I wear two hats. I'm a professor in the Department of Informatics at UCI, where I run a large undergraduate game development program. And I also teach in a master's program in something called human-computer interaction. And I have a long kind of history and expertise in working with kids within game-based, what we call game-based learning environments. So I'm a designer by trade. I fell into games about 20 years ago. And I've always been really interested in the ways in which play-based environments, particularly social interest-driven play-based environments, can really offer kids an enormous amount in terms of learning about things that they're interested in. And a colleague of mine, Mimi Ito, who's also at UCI, and I had been doing research together on a research network called the Connected Learning Research Network that the MacArthur Foundation funded for a number of years. And we're looking at a model of learning called connected learning, which is learning that supports learning around interests. It's interest-driven. It is connects kids around relationships. So it's often peer. We looked at peer-based learning, kind of socially situated learning. And there was also access to opportunities. So connected learning happens across time and space. technology has allowed learning opportunities to scale across platforms. So when we think about kids learning, they're not just learning in one place. They may be learning something in a classroom, but then they have an opportunity to connect to that interest in an after-school program, which they then maybe carry home, or they carry to a church space or to a Boys and Girls Club where they're continuing to kind of pursue and learn that interest. So connected learning was a theory of learning that said, listen, could we look at the design of kinds of platforms and in a way ecosystems that looked at peer support for kids around interest-driven learning that use technology. So that's a sort of simple way. Connected Camps is the nonprofit we're talking about today, was founded out of that idea. And we had been doing some work with different, like looking at the different interests kids were kind of pursuing. And we had, because I'm a gamer, Mimi and I had connected around a case related to learning how kids got better at StarCraft, which is a video game, a kind of competitive video game. And so we thought, well, could we provide coaching online for kids around interests. We looked at StarCraft, we looked at knitting, we looked at wrestling boards, we looked at all different kinds of things. But the thing that stuck in 2014 was Minecraft. So this was like a space where when we brought kids in within what we call a near-peer mentorship model, so we had college students that were in the space that loved Minecraft and were there just to help the kids. We felt like there was a there, right? This is we know a lot that game-based environments can be incredibly interesting and compelling for kids as learning environments. We've got the mentor piece with the college students. Could we turn it into an actual organization that offered courses and camps to kids? So that was a sort of idea. We started our very first summer, we called it the Summer of Minecraft, and we ran a free Minecraft server for kids that opened at 7 in the morning and closed at midnight, and it was staffed by our college students. And we really, over that summer, learned a lot just about, wow, what can you do with Minecraft as a learning space, but also as a social space. And over the years, that model has really, we've refined it into a year-round model. So in the summer, we offer what we call summer camps. So these are week-long experiences, 10-hour experiences, where kids join a camp for 2 hours a day. They're taught by amazing counselors like Angela, who we're gonna hear from in a minute. And it's all done remotely. So our counselors, we have counselors in practically every state in the United States. And we have kids log in from actually all over the world. So we serve kids in Australia and in the UK. And also, in the United States. So we started with this sort of summer camp model. And then in the fall, we run what we call courses. So these are 8-week courses that I think have now been shortened to 5 weeks, where students might join once a week over the course of 5 weeks, as well as a format we call clubs. So these are kind of social clubs. We have a Minecraft Builders Club. We have a Minecraft Survivals Club. We have a Roblox Club. So these are clubs that are the drop-in model. Kids can kind of drop in, connect with their friends. These are safe, moderated environments where we really support the kids, not only in sort of learning what they want to work on, but we also really support them around socio-emotional skills. And this is what we think our big play in this space is, which is we're not just nurturing kids around an interest in tech. So we have, STEM courses and learning to code in Minecraft, coding in Roblox, modding in Minecraft. But we have courses in anthropology. We have courses in ancient Rome. So different topics. But in all of those cases, we're working with kids around how they can be with other kids on the internet in ways that they are learning how to resolve conflict. They're learning how to collaborate. They're learning how to set goals, how to plan, and just like how to communicate. So that's the sort of secret sauce that we feel we bring. And it really comes from our counselors like Angela.
All right. So I hope you have a couple of days, because I have a lot of questions. So this podcast is going to go a long, long time.
Exactly.
I'm kidding, but really a lot of questions. That's not a joke. Angela, a little bit about yourself, please, and how you got connected and what you do.
So howdy, my name's Angela, also known as Green Splatter. There you go. I actually first found out about this through one of my friends. I knew them from college, and they were like, hey, you like Minecraft, because I like Minecraft. I like playing the game and everything. They were like, yeah, would you like to join this program? Because we kind of like would like to have you join in and like help lead and facilitate these programs. Like, sure, that sounds fun. Like, what? It'll be really interesting to do with like a summer and then just to test it out. And then I've been here for a year now, and it's just been like, wow, it's not just limited to just one summer of fun programs. You're doing so much more stuff, because no matter what, you're constantly like, okay, even for our programs that aren't really tech coded, you're still doing technology based driven things. And as Katie was talking about earlier, you also are also just helping them develop like social emotionally. So I've seen a kid come in like super shy, like cameras all like muted on Zoom, camera off kind of a thing. And then they're like, yeah, so anyway, in this other game I've been playing, like this is what happened with me, and I love talking to my friends. And you just, it's really nice seeing them open up more. It's also really cool just see groups and kids become friends. And then after, like, because we, as Katie was saying earlier, we do camps, do like little 5-day sessions. We do clubs, which is what's once every week. And then we do courses. It's nice to see them afterwards be like, yeah, so we left this camp club course, and now we're meeting in kids club, which is essentially like every day, and they can go play and they talk about the experience there. And like, yeah, we're best buddies. Look what we made in this other kids club server. And they'll like tag you and send you photos. So it's really fun and enjoyable seeing them grow and like develop from there. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And for maybe parents who might be around my age, but don't necessarily understand what this means, because first thing I think of Minecraft, pure gaming, only gaming. They're sitting in front of this thing for hours on end and not learning. But from looking at your site, the kids are actually creating the environment in which they're playing, right? And perhaps even collaborating through the creation. I know there's a blog, Girls Learn to Code in Minecraft and Roblox, on your site. That's a co-ed way for girls and boys to come together and build the game they want to play. Is that right? So maybe, I don't know, can one of you share with me what that is? It's more than just gaming, right?
Yes. So sometimes we'll do, so like the coding is, we'll code a game, and the Roblox training will actually program and you'll make a game. So most of the time we'll do like obstacle courses, and they'll make like, okay, you know, your obstacle course, you get to point A to point B, you have to code like how far you can jump, if the things move back and forth, and all these little things come together to make a coding experience, which is easier to replicate, because after the camp's done, you can go ahead and be like, okay, I can make my own Roblox games. And I've seen this before where like, it'll be a couple of weeks or something, and the kids comes back in like, yeah, so I made this thing, I wanted to show it to you as I take this course again. And you're just like, wow, that's really amazing that you kept at it and you made a really nice looking obstacle course. But outside of just like the ones that are like, here's an obstacle course, or here's builders in Minecraft where you just like make houses, you learn about the different ways to implement, like, all right, you can make like a basic wood cabin, or if you wanted to, you can make a skyscraper. Like Minecraft is really nice for that, being able and open to make all these kind of different designs. Some of the other programs we do are like history courses, we'll do theater courses, we'll do cell biology, virology courses as well. And what's interesting with those is that, well, yes, we're still using Minecraft as a game, but what us, the other counselors and some other admin teams have done is we've like looked at, like, you know what, let's discuss, okay, looking specifically at virology, let's say we look in virology, we're like, okay, what is important to know about viruses? Let's talk about how they spread. And we do, all right, in the game of Minecraft, we'll talk about like, all right, so here's an example. You are a virus trying to get from point A to point B. How do you spread? And we have the kids like model it out in the form of, okay, how do you stop a virus? We'll have the kids become like white blood cells and be like, oh, we're fighting against the viruses, we got to protect the body, and so on and so forth. And then as it's going on, we're still teaching like, yes, yeah, so this is, so when you're a T cell, this is your actually the third line of defense. The first line of defense would be the skin. The second line of defense would be like your immune system, like flaring up and other stuff like that. And we'll talk about it. And sometimes the kids will really be like, wait, I want to hear more about how does your body protect you from this? And we'll have like a really good conversation about that. Then other times the kids are like, I just really want to punch a virus in the face. And you're like, you know what? Have at you. Go fight rabies for me. Defeat rabies. Good job. And like, you know, kids get very excited. And like, when they learn, like, oh, this is what rabies look like, you'll see them pointed out later. They're like, hey, this worm I found looks like rabies. And you're like, you got the spirit, but you were so close. So, you know, it's nice seeing them connect it with, like, the outside world, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely makes sense. And this is the infinite battle against what I call a system of education that has been going on the same way, or with very small changes from generation to generation, when the older generation teach to the younger one. And for a while, it's been okay. You know, a few modification in the curriculum and new things coming up. But with the advent of technology and all this advancement of things that, you know, tomorrow they're already old, we need this different approach. And not only in a way to implement newer courses in literally small amount of time, but also to make it using the technology that we're all using already. So we always say kids are, you know, are on the internet way before they play video games. And I like this idea of the gamification for learning, because you learn way more when you are engaging. So Kathy, you were talking about this connected learning at the core of all of this. Tell us a little bit more about the system that then you apply for different subjects. So it's easy to think, oh, they learn how to code because they are in a video games, right? Mm-hmm. But let's talk maybe about, yeah, the virology, the ancient history of Rome or whatever it is, like the concept behind it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we think about Connected Camps as a peer-driven platform, okay? So we use sandbox style games like Minecraft or Roblox. And what sandbox style means is that they are kind of open-ended games that allow users to build things, destroy things. They're not games on rails, right? So people talk about Minecraft as kind of Legos, digital Legos. So it's an open environment. It's a multiplayer environment. This is really important to us because connected learning really values peer learning, right? So we believe that you learn in a socially situated way. You learn in a context with others. So we choose Minecraft because it's a place where kids can log in, they've got their avatars, and they can build models of anything in that world. So what Angela was talking about, didn't matter the topic, is they were building model after model after model, and then they could interact with those models. Right, so part of the courses and camps at Connected Camps is about building things. Other parts of it around kind of role playing with things. So our kind of theater courses, animation courses, there you're kind of building things, but you are using the assets of this world. First you build them, then you put them to some other use. So the theater camp kids build, they write plays and they perform them, right, within Minecraft. Our YouTube channel then says, well, how are you going to create movies using Minecraft? So the platform itself is incredibly malleable. We love it because kids are there, right? So our big thing with connected learning is you have to meet kids where they're at. Okay, so why not use a game and a community where they already are? Angela mentioned Kid Club. This is our free Minecraft server that's open 365 days a week, between 1:30 and 5:30 p.m. It's free for any kid. Any kid can join. And it's this sort of amazing space where a kid may take a camp with us. And one of the downfalls of summer camp, which are very powerful experiences for many kids, is they go to camp, they meet these incredible people, they make strong connections with a counselor, and then pew, gone. So Connect for us, the Kid Club server is a place a kid might take 1 week of digital camp with us. Then they can go jump into Kid Club right after the camp or for every single day over the next year. So we really see ourselves as a community. We're trying to create a kind of safe online community for kids to share interests with others. And again, I want to talk a little bit about the mentor piece, which I sort of keep mentioning, but near-peer mentorship can be incredibly transformative to kids when there is a pairing around interest. Right. So mentorship where people are not interested in the same things is not useful for kids. But when you can bring a near peer mentor, so we hire college students that work with 8 to 13-year-olds that share the love of something. Minecraft is the base, but then coding or modding or anthropology, right? We develop courses around the interests of our counselors that can be totally transformative to kids, right? We also look at, we hire very intentionally in our counselor cohort around underrepresented people in tech. We have lots of women on our staff, lots of counselors of color, because the peer space is a space that we want kids to have access to all kinds of individuals in STEM, right? And in technology, and begin to try to move the needle that way around our kind of hiring practices around our counselors.
And I think the social element completely changes, or maybe it hopefully better matches life if you have that diversity in place. Mm-hmm. We can see that we can interact with each other and be kind and introduce challenges and solve those challenges together. And I want to go to you, Angela. Maybe you can share this a little bit more about the curriculum. So in a traditional school, the curriculum is defined, the teachers present it, the kids learn a certain way. And as you said, Katie, there's no rails in Minecraft. So talk to me a little bit about the curriculum, because it seems like the curriculum is defined by the dynamics of the counselor and the students that are in the learning environment at the moment. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. So as a counselor, I do have certain things that we generally have a guideline. So you're probably sick of me talking about viruses. So let's do something fun. Let's talk about, I don't know, Middle Ages. So over the course of like 5 days, each day we'll kind of have like a certain central topic, which would be like, okay, we're going to talk about how the Middle Ages started. What is the Middle Ages? Then later on, we'll talk about different aspects like, oh, culture, how it ended, the, I don't know, challenges of living in the Middle Ages, what it was like to be nobility, the working, like stuff like that. So while there is like some kind of central curriculum, one of the things I really like about both Minecraft and Connected Camps model teaching is that it allows for a lot of flexibility. As Katie was saying earlier, we have like a range of students. So sometimes I have like a class of just like 8-year-olds, and they're really more interested in not like all the nitty gritty of like, oh, this is how the ancient history kind of the Middle Ages worked. They're more interested in like seeing it and like being in Minecraft and seeing like, oh, here's an example of like what a middle-aged person lived in. Here's like their house. They had like a little farm and they paid taxes. They paid to the feudal lords who would always, you know, you'd be me because I'm counselor. And then just we'll take that into account. But when you start getting like a mix of like, you have an 8-year-old here, you have like a 13-year-old who already knows the subject, is just really hyper interested in it. Then you have like another 10-year-old who kind of knows but doesn't know a lot. And you have like a whole smattering of kids in between. It allows for a lot more flexibility. So you can be like, okay, I know that today, I still do go through the whole curriculum of like, yes, today we're talking about the start of the Middle Ages, this is how it started. But then when we do the activities, when we're in the world, I'm not as much focused on like, okay, so today we're supposed to be, you know, role-playing that we're in the Middle Ages, like we're going to fight the feudal lord or we're going to fight bosses, like, because we're knights. Instead, it'll be like, you know what, we're all just Farmville Simulator. We're all just living as normal peasants in the Middle Ages, and we're trying to get a better life. And then working through that is pretty fun for kids. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
I don't know. I'm going to answer for Sean.
Yes. Sorry.
What I really see out of this, Sean, is the fact that I wish I had this when I was in school, because when you learn through the book, right? And you know, the Middle Age is a perfect example of the Roman Empire. I mean, as a kid, you want to feel like, what did it really mean to live like that? What does it mean to be in a feudal society, and what it means if you are the one day you can play that you are the noble person, and one day you can play the peasant, as you say. And you have that engagement that you just like make you apply what you learn in a very, you know, play sort of like way. I mean, that's how you really learn. So that's exciting. But my question is, how does this integrate the kids learning with the regular school time? Because this is an extra curriculum activity, right? I don't know if you want to call it that way, but what's the feedback on that? When you connect this environment and then the kid goes back into the regular school, like some stories about this.
Well, so it's really interesting. So I was part of developing a school in New York City, a school totally organized around game-based learning called Quest to Learn. It opened in 2009 in New York City. And every time I gave a talk about it, people said, oh my gosh, those kids are going to be ruined. They go to this school, experience like incredibly rich project-based social learning. How are they going to ever like go to a regular high school, right? So this is in a way the question. So what we're finding is that, you know, if you think about the lives of kids, the time they spend in school is actually a fraction of the time that they spend on Earth learning. So the larger question is how in-school learning should interface with out-of-school learning, right? So what we're trying, so Connected Camps has offered courses and camps to schools, right? So especially our coding courses, a virtual school might say, listen, or we have a very popular course called Engineering in Minecraft, where kids are learning to use Redstone, which is a kind of the programming tools with inside of Minecraft. And so those are kind of schools that during the school day pick a topic that is at least legible, right, within the Common Core standards or within the next gen standards, those kinds of things. But those kids are smart. They know how to like do regular school, and they know how to learn in ways that are really authentic to them. So I think what we're trying to say is that the out of school time should be putting pressure on the in school time in terms of what really authentic learning looks like for kids. And this past year has been very interesting because school looked for some parents a lot like after school. So for some parents, they said, oh my God, my kid is on their screen all the time. And they saw it as all the same kind of time. And what we're trying to argue is that, okay, you can be on a screen, but you have to carefully design what the time is for that kid, right? So then we could just go back to our key tenets around it's project driven, it's project based, it's interest based, it's social. It's not a teacher talking to a room of kids on Zoom showing, you know, an hour of PowerPoint slides. So hopefully in this past year, there's been we definitely see an opening in parents around the potential of games, right? It was quite closed. Nobody was Googling virtual summer camp pre-pandemic. That now is actually a model. Parents are understanding that there can be some really great learning that happens in these kinds of virtual environments, but they're not all created equal. So part of what we're trying to do is just share a kind of set of best practices around what really engaging learning can look like for kids. We have learning outcomes for all of our camps and courses. So if you looked at our coding courses, our paleontology course, those learning outcomes would partially look like what a school course would look like. But they also look at things like, has that child made a friend? Do they feel a sense of belonging to a larger community? Were they given an opportunity to have a voice in these spaces? So we have a model of learning that isn't only about kind of academic outcomes, but is largely about social and civic outcomes, which is what the argument is we're making is that kids need these kinds of supports to contribute to a really positive civic society. And they're not getting them in school, right? Because a lot of schools barely let kids on the internet. And when they do, it's a single kid on their tablet or on their Chromebook. They're not thinking about these community-based environments, which is where kids actually have to learn how to function. So those are the kinds of outcomes that we are really, we're trying to support and that we spend a lot of time talking about and really trying to share best practices around.
Yeah. And I could look at this and say that the school environment is the most likely place for something like this to exist because the infrastructure is there, potentially the funding is there as well. So with that not really existing, we have to turn to the parents. And I mean, each individual parent taking this on as a challenge to overcome is overwhelming. And we talk about community and online, and there's a lot of potential frightening things that they could put their kids into. So there's a lot of things for parents to consider when they think about online learning that isn't provided by the school through a Zoom class.
Absolutely.
And so Marco often says educating the educators, and in this case, the parents. How do parents get involved? Do they learn the curriculum alongside of their kid? Are the kids teaching the parents? How does the parent interaction work here?
Okay, I feel like you have like a lot more to say because you obviously have to deal with parents a little bit more in the technical administrative side of things. But I can say from what I've seen, like occasionally I've had a parent like sit in on like theater camp or we'll do a play. And you'll hear them on like on our last day of theater camp, we'll have the kids present the play and we'll be like, okay, you know, grab your parents, let them come in and like let them watch the play. And so when that happens, that's when we get a lot of parent involvement, like, wow, my kid's doing something. Or in the past too, I've had a kid who's running like while we're waiting to set up and they're just like introducing me to their parent. They're like, yeah, this is my teacher. She did this and look what I made in Minecraft. And he does like a full tour of the server. And I'm just like, you did that. Like, it's really nice to see parent involvement. And a lot of time parents are just like, I'm happy my kid's having fun. And I'm actually really surprised for learning something that's will translate outside of the virtual space. Yeah.
And I think the only thing I can add to that is I think one layer of things we try to do at Connected Camps, and this is sort of me, my partner and I, we spend a lot of time talking, writing about, in a way, very practical tips for parents, like trying to help parents understand how to make sense of what their kids might be doing in these environments in a way and taking head on kinds of, popular hysteria about kids, you know, being addicted to video games and that, you know, they're going to get in trouble no matter what environment they go into, and really trying to put some guidelines and best practices. Say, these are some things you should think about. This is what the research says. We're both researchers. So we Kick Camps was born from an empirical base, right? And all the work we do is backed by research. So one layer is just kind of the education layer. And then as Angela said, a lot of it is part of that is just encouraging parents to be open to talking to their kids about what they're doing. When a parent asks a question about what did you do today, that kid is going to tell you what they did. Versus having a kind of closed mind about, okay, my kid's in, he's going to go do that thing and then come back and I'm not going to engage with them around it. So part of our conversation with parents is you don't have to sit in on a class and you don't have to co-play with your kids, which is some advice says, listen, if you want to engage with your kids, you got to get in the game with them. That's a very high bar for lots of parents. But you do need to talk to your kid about what they're doing and what they're interested in. And those kids are experts in these spaces and they love being experts and they love sharing what they know with their parents. So that's a way parents can start to understand what it is that their kids are doing. They partially talk about what they built, but they also talk a lot about their friends. And they can feel from the kids like, wow, that was a really positive environment. We have a number of kids with learning disabilities or that are on the spectrum that are in our courses. They don't self-identify to us, but we know from their parents that these kind of virtual environments are really great for kids who struggle socially in face-to-face situations because they're given. So Angela talked about this kind of scaffolded moment where a kid starts with their mic and their screen off, and slowly over time, they begin to open up. It's very hard for that to happen in a physical classroom. A kid is like there or not there. But you have the ways with technology to mediate kids' comfort with social interaction. They can talk through chat. They can talk through voice. For different kids, they have different levels of comfort. So knowing how to really take advantage of all of that and provide opportunities for kids who come to you, obviously, with really different skill bases around being social, those kinds of things, we're able to kind of harness technology to really support kids in that way.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I mean, the whole interest-based thing is really appealing to me in that you're going to start in an environment that you want to learn about anyway. And depending on your perspective on the game and the curriculum that you're involved in, you might learn things that maybe the course isn't supposed to teach you, but you're going to learn them anyway about society, about how to tackle problems, about how to interact with others. And I the main point I wanted to make, Marco, before I let you go is that it's research driven. This, it isn't, hey, Minecraft is cool, let's jump on that bandwagon. It's Katie and you and your staff understand what this learning environment looks like, how it works, why it works, how to make it work, and leveraging a platform, leveraging technology, and leveraging the kids and their parents to make it happen.
Yeah, and I want to end this conversation because, first of all, I want to invite everybody to check this website and to see what they do. Of course, it's connectedcamps.com. I was going through all the various courses, and it's really cool. You go from astronomy to engineering to game design, survival adventure. I mean, it's kind of like create your own ending. You know, when you do those books that you start with something and then you build it. And I think that my perspective is what I always connect with society, because education really in the end is what is supposed to prepare the next generation to change society the way that we want, maybe for the best. And technology is augmenting. It's not substituting the social interaction, the personal interaction between each other. There is a fact that certain kind of technology can help certain kids to integrate. It can help to do things that we just can't physically do. Like, how about you meet your friend that is on the other side of the world? How cool is that, right? So then you can go outside and play with your neighbor. That doesn't exclude the other. It's expanding our vision, expanding our world, and also, if I may say, stimulating the creativity of the teachers or the counselor, the mentors to really be part of it, not just receiving a curriculum and say, well, nope, I'm going to have to go through this lesson, this lesson, this lesson, and there is absolutely no going away from it. This is positive for everyone, and that's what I got from this conversation. I hope I get promoted to the next Minecraft course.
So, Katie, I want to give you the final word as we wrap here. Who's invited? How do they find you?
Right. So, no, I appreciate that. So, connectedcamps.com, that's our website. We offer most of our programming through a platform called OutSchool. So, you can also go to outschool.com and search Connected Camps. And OutSchool is a platform that allows any teacher to list a class. And we're the largest organization on that platform, so we're pretty easy to find. Our sweet kind of sweet age group is 8 to 13. So if you have a kid in that age group that is interested in either a topic or interested in Minecraft or Roblox, you know, come check us out. It's a really, and also our server, Kid Club, is, again, it's free. It's a whitelisted server, so we have all the safeguards in place to make sure that we know who's on the server. It's moderated by incredible college students. We're there to really support kids in, you know, sort of learning how to be with each other. And so we often encourage people to start there because it's free. And you can learn about Connected Camps and then try out a class.
That's fantastic. And it's a good thing that I'm 12 years old in my head. So I can be part of it. And as I say thank you and goodbye, Angela, I have to say that if all the mentors and counselor and teacher have the energy and the passion that you just show to us in this or here on the podcast, people can hear that. I think it's a very positive thing to know that the teachers are as passionate as the kids. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks, everybody. I hope we all continue redefining education. Thanks for listening to this episode. Find more on itspmagazine.com. Links will be in the show notes for all the Connected Camps goodness that we talked about today. Keep on learning. Thanks, everybody.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Redefining Education Podcast.
If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.